Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. We praise God for being here on today. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Pluggle, in Jesus' name, amen, right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. We thank God for this moment, for this time, in Jesus' name. We praise God for being here, and if you are listening to me right now, it is another beautiful, beautiful Saturday, amen, another beautiful Saturday to worship and praise the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And if you are listening to me, as I say on every show, if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed, amen, not because you're hearing me, it's none, no goodness of my own, but if you are listening to me right now, you are in the land of the living. Amen. And that is a reason to give God praise on today in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God. I want to take care of first things first in Jesus' name. I want to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life in Jesus' name. I want to give honor to our watchman on the wall for this broadcast, amen, for this network in Jesus' name, Bishop Shalene Cook, amen, God bless you in Jesus' name. Also giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and my First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle, amen, praise God for them in their absence in Jesus' name. But the Bible does say, give honor to whom honor is due, amen. And give honor to all of our listeners in Jesus' name that make this broadcast what it is and make this network what it is in Jesus' name. God bless you all in Jesus' name. On today, we are talking about a very, very great topic today. I was inspired by the Lord to do this topic on today. Came from the teaching. My pastor, Pastor William Tuggle, was teaching on this, and the Lord told me to bring it to the airways on today and to give a little bit more in-depth talk about this topic on today. Today we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit on today. Amen. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And there's one thing before we get into this. The Bible, some people say the fruits of the Spirit. Some people say the fruit of the Spirit. Well, we're getting ready to get rid of the talk about is it the fruit of the Spirit or is it the fruits of the Spirit? Well, we're going to talk about it today, and we're going to get into the deep of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And this is we're going to start off with this scripture in Galatians chapter number 5, verses 22 and 23. Amen. And we're going to see what the Bible has to say. Amen. And it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Amen. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And then we just answered one of the questions that we were going to answer today. Is it the fruit of the Spirit or is it the fruits of the Spirit. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Amen. What the Lord is talking about is with the fruit of the Spirit, a person that is filled with the Holy Ghost must show the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. A person that has the Holy Ghost will show the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, you cannot have the fruit of the Spirit without the Holy Ghost. You must take on the Holy Ghost. Now, why is it the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruits of the Spirit? Because it talks about all of these different things. The way the Lord gave it to me was the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, and the temperance. These are different, and if I could use this in a term that people, that every man, woman, boy, and girl can understand. If you look at a natural fruit, such as an apple or orange or a banana or whatever type of fruit you might like, grapes, whatever it might be. I'll use an orange. In an orange, it has something called what? Vitamin C, right? Amen. In bananas, they have something called potassium. Amen. In these different fruits, they have different things, different nutrients in them to help grow our bodies, our natural bodies. Amen. Well, the Lord gave it to me like this. In the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit, these are the natural, the spiritual nutrients that we need in our spiritual bodies. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness. When we eat of the fruit of the Spirit, we get these different nutrients in our spiritual body. Amen. We get the love. We get the joy. We get the peace. We get the long-suffering. We get the gentleness. When we take a bite out of the fruit of the spiritual bite of the fruit of the Spirit, which is when we eat of the whole row of the Word of God. Because just like they have the when you were in elementary school or in middle school, they taught you the various food groups, right? Amen. And in this, I'm talking about this in the natural. And in the spiritual, we need the different foods of the Word of God. Amen. The table has been spread out for us to eat from, which is the Word of God. We must eat the whole row. Amen. And this is part of eating of the whole row, the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of people don't have the spiritual nutrients that they need because they do not want to eat of the Word of God. They don't want to eat everything of the Word of God. Amen. Last week, I witnessed a young person that lives in my area that I live at. He was about 7 or 8 years old. He threw a fit because his parent wanted him to eat. You know, he wanted him, the young lady wanted him to eat his food, and he wanted a snack, and he ran out of the house and started throwing a fit and everything. And I was outside walking my dog, and I asked the young lady, because the young lady, she had asthma, and her asthma started flaring up real bad, and she asked me to help her because she wanted me to help get this young man in her car, or, you know, try to get him to the house or get him to walk with her back to the house. And
you know, I put my dog up and I talked to the young lady, and the young lady began to tell me what was going on and things like that. And I went over to the young man and I said, young man, you know, this is something, you know, your mother or your aunt, I believe it was his aunt, but she had custody over this young man. And I was like, your aunt is trying to help you by you eating all your food. You know, the meal that she puts before you, she's trying to help you. She's trying to make sure that you have a good balanced meal. And the young man told me, well, I want my snack first. She won't give me my snack first. I said, well, young man, sometimes we don't always get what we want out of life. Sometimes there are times in our lives where we might want something, but what looks good to us may not always be good for us at that time. Amen. Amen. And at that time, your aunt wants you to eat your the good meal that she has prepared for you that will be good for your body. And then once you eat that, you can have your snack. And there's a lot of people. The Lord showed me in that scenario when I was, talking to this young man, the Lord started ministering to me and started showing me that a lot of people don't want the good balanced food of the Word of God, that they want the snack of the Word of God. They want what they want to eat, but they don't want to eat the whole roll. In eating the fruit of the Spirit, spiritually, we there's a lot of people that do not eat the fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot of people that are not dining off the fruit of the Spirit. Because they're not showing love. Come on here. Love can take you very, very far in life. And I have scripture to back up every one of these spiritual nutrients in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The blood of Jesus. And I'm pleading the blood of Jesus for a reason. Amen. I thank God for the y'all pray with me, y'all. With love, we have to show love in every area. And I'm going to break these different nutrients of the fruit of the Spirit down. Amen. And as the Lord gives it to me, and I'm going to show in scripture the scriptures that the Lord gave to me to give to the people. Amen. Well, we're going to first talk about love. Now, love is a very, very powerful tool. And to take on the nutrients of love, when you eat of the fruit of the Spirit, you take on the nutrients of love. That helps you to be able to love. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And some of Bible scholars, and I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not claiming to be no Bible scholar because I'm not. I don't know. I only know a little bit of the Word of God. Amen. And I only know a little bit. And I'm not the best orator of the Word of God, but I thank God for what the Lord allows me to be able to take in of the Word of God. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it talks about love. All right. Amen. We're gonna start at verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, amen, I become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and So I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Amen. What this is saying to us, and I'm going to try to read the rest of it, but what these first three verses are saying is that you can be the best preacher, you can be the best interpreter of the Word of God, you can have all knowledge and all diligence of the Word of God, but if you do not have love, and I know this word is saying charity, charity means another word for love. If you don't have love while you're doing these things for the Lord, you have nothing. It says it in the Bible. And even if it says, I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. You are nothing. I am nothing. We are nothing without love. This is why this world is so chaotic, and this is why this, and I'm not going to say the world is nothing, but the world is going into a deep, deep spiral because there's not enough love. And I'm going to tell you this much. The reason why some of this stuff, and I say it all the time, some of this stuff that is going on in the world, all of this hatred that is going on, I'm not going to say all of it is stemming from the coming of the Lord either. I'm not going to say that. And it's not. Some of it is because of the church not doing its job. The church has let the world run roughshod all over the world. We have let hatred run roughshod all over the world because we're not showing love like we should. Amen. We're not doing what we should do to get rid of some of these spirits that are going on in the world. It's not just because of the coming of the Lord. Some of this stuff that is going on, yes, most of it is. Most of it is. You might say, well, Minister Adam, you can't say that because we're living in the end times and we're living in the last days. Yes, we are, and I admit that. We are, and I'm not taking away from the Word of God when I say it. I'm not saying it's not happening, because it is. I'm not saying that. But some of this stuff is because the church itself is not where it should be in God. And because we're not in alignment with God, this is why the world is going in a downward spiral. This is why, and I'm going to show you, this is why some of our family members are going down a downward spiral, because we're not showing the love of God, because we're not showing the peace of God, because we're not showing the joy of the Lord. We're not showing the long-suffering. We're not showing the gentleness. We're not showing the goodness. We're not showing even the faith of God. Because when we go into a test or a situation, we're being a stumbling block to our families. We're being a stumbling block to the people that are around us. We got people in the church that are, I did not mean to go here, but this is what the Spirit of the Lord is leading me to say. We have people that we come in contact with. We have people that we come in contact with on a day-to-day basis. And they do not see the love of God. They do not see the joy. They see us hanging our harp on the willow tree all the time. We complain. We murmur. We murmur and complain. We wonder when this is going to take place. We wonder when that's going to take place. We always have our head down. I don't know who I'm talking to, but that's not a saint of God. We're not walking in faith. A person is not walking in faith when you're hanging your harp on the willow tree. My former pastor used to say it all the time. Pastor Dorothy J. Matt Gordon, ma'am, she used to say it all the time. Do not hang your harp on the willow tree. Pick your head up, put your shoulders back, and walk in the confidence of God, not in the confidence of yourself. Walk walk in the blessings of God. When you feel, look, there are times in my life, this is where I learned this from. I learned it from my former pastor. I learned it from my current pastor. I learned how to, you know, when I'm not feeling so good, when everything ain't going, when money is funny, I know how to walk in faith. I know how to walk in my integrity, in my faith. I know that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I know how to walk in joy. Amen. This is the fruit of the Spirit. We have to learn that even though things are messed up right now, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get yourself, look, when you start feeling bad, and I don't care who, and this is a word for somebody. If you feeling bad right now, put yourself on the most nicest thing you can find in your closet. I'm telling you what this is something I've done before. This is something I learned from my former pastor. She did it all. You would never knew that she was sick. You would have never known. The times that her body was aching, the times that she was sick, the times that we didn't know it because she would look so good. She would find herself the most fancy clothes that she could find, and she would dress herself up, and she would pull her shoulders back and walk in the confidence of God. Walk in the integrity of God. And it was, and she would always say it all the time. She would say, it helps you. It gives you a little bit of strength. It gives you a little bit more strength. Even when you ain't got no strength, it makes you feel a little bit better. Amen? It makes you, but when you're walking around, when money is funny, when you got things going on, we need to learn how to eat the fruit of the Spirit, to learn how to deal with certain situations that happen, to learn how to deal with all situations in our life. The fruit of the Spirit can help you deal with situations in your life. When you take a bite of the fruit, a spiritual bite of the fruit of the Spirit, and you learn how to digest the fruit of the Spirit in your spiritual being, those spiritual nutrients of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, those will teach you, and you'll be able to use those spiritual nutrients in your spiritual body. Your spiritual body will be able to use those spiritual nutrients and make you stronger in the Lord. Amen. If you don't have love, you have nothing. Now let's drop down to verse number and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity, it doesn't puff itself up. Amen. This is in verse number 4. Do it not behave itself unseemly, which means you're not going to act out. Amen. Seeking not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. These are the things that love does. Amen. Rejoicing not in iniquity, which means you ain't rejoicing in sin. You're not puffing up sin. You're not glorifying sin. How does love help me not to glorify sin? Because the Bible says God is love. When you take a bite of a spiritual bite of the fruit of the Spirit, and you take in the nourishment of love, you'll know what to love and what not to love. That's why you won't be able to glorify sin. Iniquity is sin. Amen. You'll be able to. That's why the Bible says, "Hate one and love the other." It's talking about
unclean, being clean and unclean. You can't serve two masters, but you must hate one and love the other. Love will teach you which one to love and not love. You want to hate, if you want, look, let me show y'all something. Anybody that wants to hate something or hate somebody, the Lord gave you permission. The Lord gave you permission to hate the devil and to hate sin. You want to hate something or somebody, hate sin, hate the devil. There you go. Boom. There you go. You can do all the, you can hate sin and you can hate devil all you want to, and you will not be in trouble for it. Because that's in turn in the love of God. Because the Lord hates sin. Now, he doesn't hate the individual, but he hates the sin. He doesn't like sin. And when we rejoice in sin or rejoice in iniquity, we rejoice in sin. We're glorifying sin. And there's a lot of preachers that do that now. That's why. You know why? Because they have not eaten the fruit of the Spirit. They have not eaten the fruit of the Spirit. That's why that's why some preachers are able to glorify sin, because they, oh, you can dab in this and dab in that and do this and do that. This deeper. With the fruit of the Spirit, it's much deeper than just reading about it. It's a lot deeper than that. Let's move on. Let's go to joy. Now, joy is a powerful, powerful tool, y'all. Joy is a powerful, powerful tool. And look, in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15, let's go to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Amen. Now, watch this. Remember when I said you can't have the fruit of the Spirit without having the Holy Ghost? Watch this. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And it reads, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This shows us that we can't have love, we can't have joy, we can't have peace, we can't have long suffering, we can't have gentleness, we can't have goodness, we can't have faith, we can't have meekness, and we can't have temperance, which is the fruit of the Spirit, without the Holy Ghost. You can't have it without the Holy Ghost. And man, it shows us right here. Two of the fruit of the Spirit are right in this verse. And I'll read it again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through what? The power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have what? Power. Power. The power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot have the fruit of the Spirit without having the Holy Ghost. Amen. And like I said, I'm not the best interpreter of the Word of God. Whatever the Lord gives me, that's what I give to you all. That's what I give to anybody. Amen. It's in here. It's in here. Only thing I do is study. That's it. I study the scriptures that the Lord wants me to study, and that's what I do. Lord gives me a scripture to study. Lord gives me verses to study. I study them, and the Lord gives it from the Lord. It's his word anyway. It has to come through him. It can't come through me. It can't come through Bishop Cook. We have to understand that with this walk,
we must take on everything that the Lord has for us. We must be diligent in everything that we do. Amen. This is something that we must, that we have to take on. We have to take on the fruit of the Spirit. We got, man, I'm telling y'all, this right here is something for us to eat on. Amen. Now, let's move to peace. Because peace, we just talked about joy. And look, let me tell y'all something. Before we move to peace, I'm going to stay on joy real quick because the Lord has given me a scripture to talk about with joy. When you have joy, like I said earlier, you are not going to have your head down all the time. Every problem you go through, every problem that you go through, you will not have. Now, are you going to have those days where you feel like are you always going to have peace about every situation? No. Are you going to have worries? Yes, but you shouldn't worry. Are you going to be, yes, that's a natural instinct. But, that's why the Bible says, cast all your cares upon me. And when I say cast, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him so that you might not have to worry about it. Amen. So you don't have to worry about the things of God. You don't have to worry about the problems of life. So God, if you cast all your cares upon him, then you can, only thing you got to do is worry about the business that God has for you to do. Amen? Look, let me show y'all something. I had a problem, and I can talk about it now because I've dealt with it. I let the Lord deal with it. I got a letter in the mail, and this is one of my I have several streams of income. Amen. And one of those streams of income, I got a letter in the mail stating that one of these streams of income that I have could be stopped, could be cut off. And at first I was worried about it. I was worried, and I began to pray. And this was a big stream of income, a big chunk of the way I take care of my family. Amen. And so I was like, Lord, I need this. I need this stream of income. You gave me this stream of income. Lord, bless me to be able to keep it, you know. And after that, I didn't worry about it anymore. I did not worry about it. I just went and prayed about it, and I kept believing the Lord for it. And I forgot all about it. I forgot all about it because when I went to the place that sent me this letter, I went to them and I talked to them and I had a meeting with them and everything. And they was like, well, you know, this could, this problem over here could hinder you from keeping this stream of income. And I said, well, you know, this problem over here, I don't have that problem anymore. You know, not to get into deep detail and, you know, tell all my business, because that's not sound to do. But I was explaining to this individual that, hey, I need this stream of income to help take care of my family. This is one of the ways I help take care of my family. And this individual was telling me, you know, you're going to lose this stream of income. This is what this person kept telling me. And I'm like, okay. So I went and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. But I never walked with my head low. I put in for an extension of that income. And they gave it to me. And they said, well, we're gonna look at it and make sure we're gonna look over your thing that you gave us to make sure you can still keep this stream of income. And I said, okay, all right. And they said, we'll send you a letter or we'll call you to let you know if you get to keep it or not. Well, a couple months down the road, this was about a week or two ago when I called them. They didn't even call me. And they said, Mr. Tuggle, I said, well, have they made a decision yet? And they said, oh, yeah, we've made a decision. And I said, well, there was no letter being sent to me. They said, well, we had just sent the letter out. I said, well, what was the decision? I don't even need to wait for a letter. Just tell me the decision. They said, well, you're still in. You still get to keep your income. You get to keep your income. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if I had walked around with my head held low and worried about this and worried about that, the Lord wouldn't have glorified that. The Lord wouldn't have honored that. I don't want to say glorified. The Lord wouldn't have honored that. But the Lord honored the fact that I kept myself in good in joy. That I kept myself at peace with it. I told the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's all I said. If you allow them to take this, I know that you're going to make a way. I know that you're going to make a way. If this gets taken from me, I know that you're going to make a way. That's the way I looked at it. Because you said in your word that you have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's what I went by. I went by the word of God. And I put the word on it. I used the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I used the word. That's all I could do. And I won the battle. Because I let the Lord, I put all my cares upon him. And I walked in joy. Amen. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Your weeping, in the midst of you weeping, in the midst of you going through, keep your joy. Don't let your joy fade out. Don't let it fade. Amen? Let's move to peace. Let's move to peace because I want to talk about peace. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 34. John chapter 16, verse 33. This is another nourishment or another vitamin inside the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. This is peace, dealing with peace. John chapter 16, verse 33. Amen. And it reads, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And this is Jesus speaking. What he is letting us know is that in him, he says this in this verse, that in me you might have peace. Now, you might say, it says you might have peace. Why is Jesus saying you might have peace. Why does he say that? You might have peace. Isn't he the Almighty God? Doesn't he want me to have peace? Why is he saying I might have peace? Well, the reason why he's saying that is because it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. The Bible says that in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Amen? In him we live and we move and we have our being. Amen? Unless we do what he wants us to do. Now, he can speak the word unto us, but unless we walk in the word that he speaks, we won't have what he has for us. We have to show the diligence to do what he says do. You see it right here in verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you. He spoke the word. But it's for us to believe that ye might have peace. Amen? That ye might have peace. He done already spoke the word. But it's for us to believe what he said. It's for us to walk in what he said. If we do the will of God, if we do the word of God, if we live out the word of God, it's just like this. There's a scripture that comes to mind that says, he'll keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed upon him. Well, if your mind is not stayed on Jesus, you won't have that perfect peace. If your mind is stayed on Jesus, then you'll have the peace of God. It's up to you. It's up to me. Just like the situation I just talked about with me. If I had had my mind on the backside of what took place, oh, I won't have this. Oh, I won't have that. Oh, my God, I got to worry about this. I got children to feed. But I use the word of God. I use what God. That's why the Bible says, think on these things. Think on these things that have a good report. I thought on the word of God. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What does that mean? That's why he gave us the word. This is why he said it in this verse. In the world ye shall have tribulation. What does that mean? You're going to have problems. The world going to have its problems. But you can go through your problems better than the world can. Why? Because you have the Holy Ghost, number one, and you have the word of God. You have weapons of mass destruction to be able to combat against the problems of life. This is the fruit. This is in the fruit of the Spirit, y'all. When the test of life, when the test and trials of life come our way, when temptations come our way, we are able to fight against the wiles of the enemy. We are able to quench the fiery darts, as it says in the word of God, as it says in the book of Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Amen. That you might be able to quench the fiery darts. Hold up the shield of faith that you might be able to quench the fiery darts. Amen. In putting, look, you can't put on the armor and not have enough muscle mass to fight the enemy either. Just because you got on the armor doesn't mean you'll be able to. You got to put on the whole armor of God. Your body got to be fit. You can't just, look, a person that runs, the Bible says, the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but he that what? Endure to the end. You got to have some endurance. Your spiritual body got to be right to have endurance. To have some endurance to be able to run this race with patience, you got to have some endurance. How do we get endurance? By eating of the whole
grow by eating of the Word of God, by eating of the fruit of the Spirit, to taking in the nourishment as we talked about earlier. Our spiritual bodies can become so neglected. A whole bunch of people's spiritual bodies have become neglected. They have taken it, and you know what? I ain't even going to say they become neglected. I ain't even going to say they become neglected, because spiritual bodies don't become neglected. What is what you put in it that becomes, that spiritual body become malnourished? What you put in your spirit, what you allow yourself to see, what you allow yourself to hear, what you allow yourself to partake in, that can affect your spiritual body, that can affect your spiritual life, that can affect your spiritual walk with Christ. It can. If you're taking in everything that is against the Word of God, what do you think you're going to get? If you're not praying, if you're not fasting, if you're not reading the Word, but you yet saying, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, what power do you have? What power do you have? It is prevalent, for, especially now, for us to read the Word of God, to be able to take on the things that are going on today. It is prevalent for us to do so. Amen. Let's move into, oh my God, there's a lot that goes into this. Let's go to the next one, the next nourishment in the fruit of the Spirit. Long suffering. Oh Lord. These next two, I'm going to say this, and this is my own personal opinion. This is not scripture. This is my own personal opinion. These next two are really, all of these are for the preachers and the interpreters of the Word of God. I guess you could say interpreters. I don't know. Whatever. Preachers, bishops, pastors, whatever, ministers. These next two, we need this. We need the love. But I believe out of all of this, we need all of them. But there's three main ones that we really, really need, or four of them that we really, really need. And that's that long suffering. That's that love, that long suffering, and that gentleness, and that faith. So this long suffering, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Amen. Amen. And it reads, with all loneliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. What is long suffering? It's exactly what it says. It speaks for itself. Long suffering. You are able to withstand. You are able to have patience with people. You are able to have patience. You are able to go through some things. You are able to suffer much and still have joy. Amen. That's what long suffering is. You were able to suffer much, but yet still keep your joy. You were able to suffer much, but yet still keep your peace. You were able to tolerate more
Amen. Still having a good attitude, going through dealing with an individual on your job, but yet you are still able to tolerate them. Now you ain't got to spend time with them. You ain't got to you can love them from a distance, but you're still able to love them. You don't fall into that spirit of I hate you. Okay, that's long suffering. Amen. You still able to say I love you in spite of. You know, I use my former pastor a lot in this situation when it comes to long suffering. When it comes to showing love to people. Now I have a bunch of people in my life that I could use an example, but I love using this example because this is the best example that I could give that I've seen in my life. Out of all the examples that I have, this is the best one because I remember my pastor or my former pastor, she had lost one of her children tragically. And one of her, this child that she, you know, gave birth to, that she loved and that she held close, amen, she nurtured as the mother, was tragically killed, gunned down and was killed. And this, the mother, she wasn't speaking as a pastor. She was speaking as a mother. And she was speaking as a woman of God. This is how the love of God is shown. Because she was able to look at the person that took her son's life and was able to say, I love you. Now, this is the mother. This is not Pastor Dorothy McGordon. This is the mother. This is mother of her. This is her son tragically killed. And she's looking at the person that killed her son in the face and is able to say, I love you, and able to tell his family, if you need anything, call me and I'll be there for you. And gave the mother of the son that took her son, she gave that mother a hug and said, I love you too. Now, that's hard to do. You might say, well, I wouldn't do that. That's because a person that is able to show the true love of God is able to do that. That's long suffering. When you lose someone close, but you're still able to say, I love you. When you're still able to say, I love you. I love you. Yes, you took my child, but I still love you. This is not a form of, you killed my dog, I killed your cat. You're not getting back at nobody. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. There's so many people that look, this is why we got so many, and I'm going to say it, because I ain't afraid. We have this going on in the church. People not loving people because my former pastor lost her son tragically. Looking at the same man that took her son's life and able to say, I love you, but yet in the church, we got people
being mad at people and not wanting to come to church and hating people all because somebody didn't speak to them? You know how petty that is? Oh, I ain't gonna like you because you didn't say praise the Lord to me, or you didn't speak to me. Maybe that person didn't see you. Or maybe that person saw your spirit and did not want to come up to you. Think about it. But it's a problem. Amen. Let's go to gentleness. Gentleness. Now this right here, and I'm not condemning anybody. Gentleness needs to be shown. Now you might say, Minister Adam, how can you say this and you don't show gentleness when you're talking about the Word of God? You don't sugarcoat anything. I don't sugarcoat anything, and I'm using me. I'm talking about me now. I don't sugarcoat anything when it comes to the Word of God, because the word is the Word. I'm just going, and I told somebody in my family, the Word is the Word. And whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it, the Word gonna stay be the Word, whether you believe it or don't believe it. The Word is the Word. It's gonna be the Word. But we can do more, us as preachers, us as teachers, us as whoever, whatever you want to call yourself. We can do a lot more with gentleness instead of beating people across the head with the Word. They don't need, look, I never tell a person that they're going, I've heard people tell people, I've heard preachers tell sinners straight up to their face that they're going to hell. Now, if you live your life in sin and you die in sin, yes, a person that does that does go to hell. I'm not sugarcoating. If they die in sin, hell is where they'll open their eyes. But you cannot tell a person straight up that they're going to hell, because what if they get it right? Just saying. What if they repent of their sins, and what if they're be filled with the Holy Ghost? They're going and they live a holy life, and the Lord takes them home, and they done lived a holy life. Then they're going to heaven. So I don't tell people. I don't tell sinners that they're not saved either. You don't tell a sinner that they're not saved. Don't tell them that. What you do is, and what I've been taught is, if they feel like they're saved, hey, look, wait a minute. If they have not been filled with the Holy, if they have not repented of their sin, this is where gentleness comes in at. This is where gentleness comes in at. Right here. I'm about to show you where gentleness comes in. You do not tell a person, a non-believer, that they are not saved. If they believe that they're saved, let them speak things as not as though they were. Words have power. Book of Proverbs. You say, okay, honey, what I tell them is, I ask them, what happened to you? What happened to you? And if it don't line up with the Word of God, then if they say that they say, and I ask them, I say, well, what happened to you? How do you know? How do you know that you have what you have on the inside? I want to know. How do you know? And if it don't line up with the Word of God, then I tell them, well, you know what? That's great. I'm happy for you. But you know what? The Lord has more for you. And then they become inquisitive.
The Lord has more for me. What? What do you mean the Lord has more for me? And then I explain to him. I don't beat him across the head with it. I don't. How do you know what? How do you know? Well, I was baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I just felt good after I came out of the water. Oh no, you're not saved. You're not saved. You need to speak in tongues and do all this and do. I don't do that. No, I let them know. Okay, that's good. You got baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's good. Well, guess what? The Lord has more for you. Well, what does he have for me? He don't just have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He don't just have the titles for you. He has his name for you. He wants you to take on more than just titles. He wants you to take on his name, baby. He wants you to take on his name, daughter. He wants you to take on his name, son. He wants you to take on his name, brother. Well, how do I take on his name? He wants you to take on his name so you can have the benefits. Just like your mother or your father, you taking on their last name and you reap the benefits of their last name. The Lord wants you to take on his name so you can reap the benefits of his name. Well, how do I reap the benefits of his name? How do I take on his name? And then I take them to Acts 2 and 38. If they tell me that they've been baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I take, oh, okay, that's great, that's good. But the Lord has more for you. The Lord wants you to be baptized in his name. See, that's wise. That's gentleness right there. You have not downplayed what they believe. You haven't said anything about what they believe. And that's using wisdom. That's using wisdom. That's being gentle. That's gentleness right there. When you're preaching and teaching the word of God, that's gentleness. Amen. That's true gentleness right there. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Now watch this. This talks about it. And it reads, and the servant of the Lord must not shrivel. I think that word is shrivel. I'm sorry, y'all. But be gentle unto all men. Amen. Obtain to teach patience. You got to be gentle with all men. Even the ones because when you're dealing with people, you're not dealing with the same personality every time. You're dealing with different personalities. You're dealing with different life expectations. You're dealing with different lives, different walks of life, I want to say. I'm not gonna tell this man over here. I'm not gonna come. I gotta be all things to all people. And this is what we have to be. We have to be a book read by all men. And we gotta be gentle with people. And there's a lot of preachers that beat and bash the word of God into people, and they wonder why they're not coming. But still keeping intact that the word of God is the word of God. There is a way that we can preach the word of God and stand on the word of God and yet still be gentle with it and not take down. Now, when I say be gentle, does that mean I'm taking down from the word of God? No. No. I'm standing on a rock. I'm standing on the word of God, but I'm standing on it, and I'm telling somebody about it. And if somebody comes with slop gut, when somebody comes with something that's not true, I can still be gentle with them and tell them, hey, look, that's not in the word. That's not in the word. Let me show. You can tell me what you believe. But then, if you
if you don't have scripture to back up what you're saying, then I'm going to show you. Because I've had people come to me, literally come to me, and tell me that I was wrong for teaching and preaching this message. Not the topic today, but the word of God itself. Oh, no. Adam, you wrong. The Bible didn't say that. Yes, it did. Where it say that in the Bible, what does it say what you're talking about? Show me. Well, it says it right here in Matthew 28:19 that you're supposed to be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, it doesn't. Now, when I say no, it doesn't, when I say it like this to somebody like that, I'm not going to say that to no sinner. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that if it's a preacher that's telling me, hey, and you know you've been, you know, then yeah, I am going to say it like that because you don't sugarcoat. No. You've been in this walk with a while now. I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that to no sinner. But a person that's supposed to be in the Word of God and been in the Word of God for years and been saved for years, and you come to me with some slop gut, oh, God's doing a new thing, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But even with that, you still have to love, and you still have to be gentle with them, too. I ain't even going to say beat them across the head with it either. But still be stern with it. Be stern, but be gentle. Amen? Because you might lose them, too. Amen? But when you're gentle about it, it'll draw them because you can draw more flies with honey than you can vinegar. That's an old saying. And I know my wife tells me all the time, and my friend, still one of my best friend tells me all the time, you have an old soul. I know. I'm sorry. This is me. I'm sorry. I was raised old school. That's just the way I was raised. And I thank God for that. Amen. But let's move on to goodness. Goodness. Amen. Goodness. Goodness is a vitamin in the fruit of the Spirit that we need to be drawn to goodness, to be equipped in goodness, to have all diligence, all of our diligence in the goodness of God, to be able to follow goodness, to be able to follow the right thing. Amen. Let's go to Romans 12, verse number 9. Let's go to Romans. I got two scriptures in the book of Romans. One of them is well known. Amen. And then I got a scripture in the book of Psalms. But in Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. And it reads, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Amen. It says cleave. What does that mean? It means grab a hold to that which is good. Amen. If you want good things, everybody wants the good things to happen in life. Everybody wants the goodness of God. Well, watch this. When you cleave to the things that are good, then the good things will happen to you. It is God's attempt for us to have goodness in our life. But we must cleave to the things that are good. We must cleave to goodness. You can't want goodness and do evil. Because, what is it? Goodness and bitterness don't run in the same cup. If you got bitterness on the inside of you, ain't no good gonna come out of bitterness.
harping on what somebody done to you. You know what harping on to unforgiveness, harping on to bitterness and unforgiveness. You know what that brings? That brings spiritual sicknesses, and it also brings natural sickness for people that don't know. Do you know unforgiveness brings ulcers? It can raise your heart rate. It can. Bitterness, all of hatred, all of that stuff can bring natural diseases. It can bring natural pains in your body. But when you hold on to goodness, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Watch this. Everybody wants goodness in their life. Everybody wants to see the goodness of God. Well, guess what? This is how you get the goodness of God. Right here. I'm going to show you. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for the what? The good to them that what? Love God. You got to do that. How do we love God? We obey his word. We do what he wants us to do. We obey the word of God. And then what? What happens? To them who are called according to his purpose. Goodness is called according to his purpose for your life. That's the goodness. He wants you to have goodness, but you got to learn how. We got to learn how to love God in the right way. But we can't love him without having the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we have to learn how to love correctly. This is why the world is so caught up in the wrong ways of love. They think this is love, but it's really lust. They think that this way is love, but it's really sin. It's messed up the way the world got the eyesight of love. It all deals back to love. All of this goes back to love. Amen. Let's go to Psalms. And I'm trying to hurry because I only got a few minutes and I'm trying to get through faith and meekness and temperance. And I might go over this next week as well, go deeper deep into this. Amen. Because there is a lot. Amen. There is a lot to this. But I thank God for what the Lord has blessed us with on today. Amen. Let's go to Psalms, a very familiar passage of Psalms in the book of Psalms, Psalms 23. Amen. And wow. Psalms 23, we're still talking about goodness. Psalms 23. Everybody knows Psalms 23. Amen. Amen. Psalms 23. Verse 6, you want to know how to get goodness. You want to know how to have goodness in your life. Follow this verse. Amen. And it reads, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to read that again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why is it that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? Because the goodness of God has dwelt on your life because you have obeyed the will of God. The goodness falls when it's just like the old saying says, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Well, when you obey God, he has no other choice but to be moved by your obedience. He's moved by two things. He's moved by two things. There's a lot of things that God has moved of, but there's two things that we do that really, really moves God. One of them is obedience, and the other is disobedience. He's moved by both. He's moved by both. But the reaction that he gives is what sets the tone for our life. The reaction of our obedience, the reaction of our disobedience sets the tone for our life. This is what God has given. When we obey God, it sets his reaction to our obedience sets the tone for the goodness of our life. When we disobey God, the reaction sets the tone of our life. When Adam disobeyed God, when he said, "Don't eat of this fruit of the tree that he told him not to eat of, the tree of good and evil," when he told him not to eat of it, and Adam ate of it, what did he do? What did God do? He reacted to Adam's disobedience. The reaction is that Adam was kicked out of the Garden of Eden. He kicked him out. What was the reaction of God when Satan disobeyed God? He kicked him out. What was God's reaction when one-third of the angels disobeyed God? What did he do? He kicked them out. The wrath of God comes with the disobedience. When our disobedience unto God, the goodness of God comes when we obey the word of God. You want goodness in your life? Obey the word of God. Obey the word of God. Simple as that. We must obey the word of God, all of it. We must learn how to eat the whole roll of the word of God. Let's go to faith. And I'm only going to faith. Amen. I'm only going to mention one scripture because I got a ton of scriptures on faith, but I'm not going to go through all of them because of the shorter time we have. Faith. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11 and 1. And I know that scripture from the top of my head, but I'm going to read it to you. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 1, and it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Why do we need faith? It says it right here. Why is the nourishment of faith in the fruit of the Spirit? We need faith to be able to please. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. That's why we need faith. We can't please God without faith. What is faith? Faith is believing. We must believe in God to be able to please him. Amen. We need faith to be able to please him. Amen. Now, watch. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I said I was only going to do one scripture, but I want to show y'all this. And this might be, I might do meekness and temperance on next week. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Amen. And it reads, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. You must believe. You must hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. You hear the word of God. You hear the preacher preaching, or you hear the word of God. And in hearing by the word of God, faith comes by hearing. You have to hear the word of God, and you must believe what you hear. Amen. That's how we get faith. That's how, and when you believe the word of God, you're going to act on what you believe. You're going to do what you believe. That's how we get the goodness. That's how we get the gentleness. That's how we get faith and goodness go together. Faith and goodness go together. They work together. Amen. Amen. I'm going to do one scripture in meekness, and I'm going to do one scripture in temperance. and then we're gonna close out because I only got 10 minutes. But in the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3, verse 2, amen. This is what meekness is. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. What is meekness? Showing kindness. Having an attitude of gratitude, not being so quick to get angry. And you know what? The best example that I've had throughout my life is my father, Pastor William Tuggle. I have never seen the most meekest man in my life. This man, down through the years, has taken a lot. If I told you all of his story, I ain't even got all the time to tell all his story. The man is meek. He's meek. And he's got him. He can take a lot. He can take a lot. And he's humble. He's very humble. So let's move on to, in these last few minutes that I got, meekness. We share that meekness is keeping a level head. Basically keeping a level head about things. Amen. Temperance. Amen. What is temperance? Temperance is keeping intact. When temptations come upon you, that you're not easily persuaded into sin. Let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick. In these last few minutes that I have, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Amen. And I'm going to read it to you. But I keep under my body. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway. What this is saying to us is that when temptations come, that we are able to keep our focus, that we are able to keep our bodies, our flesh under control. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why I said we need the Holy Ghost to be able to keep ourselves under control. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost to be able to keep ourselves under control, y'all. We need the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, we'd just about do anything that we're big and bad enough and ready to do. Amen. Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse number 12, real quick. Amen. And it reads, and I'm only going to read a part of it. Amen. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is what temperance is. This is what temperance is, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Denying. That's what temperance is. And this is why we need to eat of the fruit of the Spirit. All of these nurturants, all of these vitamins that are in the fruit of the, all of these spiritual vitamins, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance, all of this lies in the fruit of the Spirit. And this is why we need to eat of the fruit of the Spirit. If we do not have anybody that has the Holy Ghost, anybody that has the Holy Ghost, you will have to eat of the fruit of the Spirit, and you will show the your spiritual body will have the spiritual nourishment in your body through the fruit of the Spirit. You'll have the love. You'll have the joy. You'll have the peace. You'll have the long-suffering. You'll have the gentleness. You'll have the goodness. You'll have the faith. You'll have the meekness. And you'll have the temperance. Amen. Against this, against such, there is no law, the Bible says. In Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. Amen. I hope that this topic has blessed you on today. We made it through, y'all. I thank God for this topic on today. I thank God for the fruit of the Spirit. I thank God for each and every one of you. Again, I want to say God bless each and every one of you in Jesus' name. And I also, before I forget, I didn't say it at the top of the show, but I want to send out a very, very special birthday shout out to my best friend, who has been my best friend since my sophomore year of high school. And I'm going to say this in these last few minutes that I have, when my other best friend that I've known since fifth grade, when my friend Lamont passed away, the Lord brought this young lady into my life. Ebony Cousin, I love you. You are like a sister to me, and I love you so very, very much. Happy birthday. The Lord brought this young lady into my life at Ben Davis High School, and she has been my best friend ever since. I love her like a sister. Amen. She is part of my family, and I love, and everybody that knows me knows of my best friend, and she became my best friend my sophomore year of high school. So happy birthday to you. God bless you, and I hope you have many, many more in Jesus' name. And y'all, our audience, the Spirit Alive audience, I love you guys. I love each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Spirit Alive family, I love you guys. I love each and every one of you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you, Bishop Cook, for allowing us to come one more time to teach the Word of God on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle on the Spirit Alive Network right here on Blog Talk Radio in Jesus' name. God bless you all. And as it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to make it to heaven one day. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio, if you don't hear me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you all. I will see you all next week in Jesus' name. Lord's will, I will see you. Or you will hear me again next week in Jesus' name. God bless you.